We're going to be focused on this particular theme. Our dear Christ enters in, and how he enters in, how he chooses to do that, what that looks like as the Father's plan of salvation is laid out for us. Our dear Christ enters in. And today we began with this lineage of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 begins that gospel account with this lineage, this family tree of Jesus. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. Maybe we're not all into genealogies and lineage and know why that's so important. But yet when Matthew lays out the genealogy of Jesus today, he brings us into the family tree of Jesus, of how our Heavenly Father in time used the genealogy to bring this, to bring Jesus to the moment of his birth and to bring us into that moment of Jesus' birth. A genealogy is the source of the origin found in the book of one's lineage or ancestry. At least that's how Matthew's choosing, by the Spirit, of course, being inspired, how Matthew's choosing to use this word, Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, what's interesting, in chapter 1, verse 18, Matthew will use the same word, Genesis, to talk about the birth, the nativity, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the origin of God's Son to earth. We call that the incarnation of Christ, the second person of the Trinity of Jesus. And Genesis is that origin, the genesis of God's plan of salvation for the world and for us, to all who would believe in him. This is what John, in his gospel, was talking about, how the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is the origin of the Word of God made flesh for our salvation. And in this genealogy, we're brought into, then, the foundation, the root of the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus. And so Matthew, by the Spirit's blessing, power, wants us to know this is the history of your Savior. Do you know the history of your family tree at all? Our family can date itself back to Germany, but after so many years, the records in Germany, there aren't any. But in our family tree, we can trace it back in this way, on my father's side to a man named Albert from 1581, on my mom's side to Johann in 1757. And there's lots of generations in there, of course. But bringing us to this day, you've got my mom, my dad, you've got me and my wife, Sue, and from us then, our children, Ellie, Anna, Sam, and Jackie, Walter, Tommy, and Maeve, who are our grandkids. That's our family tree up to this point in time. And within that family tree, there are descriptors of us. There's the descriptors that explain maybe who we are. You might see one of them and describe them as a farmer, or a teacher, or a pastor, for certain. A descriptor that my grandkids call me is Pop-Pop. That's how they know me, a descriptor as their grandfather. All of those kinds of descriptors help describe who we are in our family tree. For Jesus, his family tree, Matthew traces it back to Abraham. There's lots of generations, 14 between certain events, as Matthew lays out. And there's Abraham. And a great descriptor of him would be father of all nations. God told Abraham, look at the stars and see if you can count them. That's how many people are going to flow from your ancestry, of which we in Christ Jesus are one. There's King David. And a great descriptor that's given of him in Scripture is that he's a man after God's own heart. Wow, that's a descriptor I'd like to have in my own life. There's Mary and Joseph, who often are described as the holy family. Not holy because they weren't sinless, but holy because they were set apart for the purposes that the Lord had to bring his Son into the world. And then there's Jesus. And Matthew gives to us descriptors of Jesus, Messiah. He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. Titles that are also descriptors of Jesus. It's important to know the family tree of Jesus in this way, but it's also important to know the family tree of Jesus that there were maybe what we might describe as some crooked branches, like we have in our family tree too. There's Jacob. How is he described? But as the cheater. There's Rahab, who we know is described as the prostitute. There's Ruth, who's described not because of anything that she did in sin, but because of who she was, a Gentile. Well, we're Gentiles, but we belong to this lineage like Ruth as well. There's Ahaz, this king that God had set apart for his people's purposes. He was an idolater, wicked king. These are all part of Jesus' genealogy, his family tree. It's important to know Abraham, King David, all those members of the family tree. But it's also good to know these members and others like them of the family tree, because we find ourselves reflected in them, don't we? We cheat. We don't honor our bodies as the temples of the Lord. We are outside of that Old Testament covenant. And the only reason why we know any gift of salvation is because God has been gracious and cut a new covenant through his one and only Son. And, like Ahaz, I don't always keep the Lord God as my God only. Right? So maybe there's a descriptor that we join with these and all of those who are in Jesus' family tree. And maybe that descriptor of them and us would be something like this: a sinful human being. And isn't this why our dear Christ enters in to our humanity, to the world, to our lives, and to our families, that he would offer what only he can offer: forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, redemption. And in that redemption, hope. And in that hope, life. And in that life, a place in the family tree unto eternity. This is Jesus entering into, through his family tree, our family trees, our genealogy. And this is why it's important for us to hear Matthew give this genealogy of Jesus, the Genesis, the origin of who he is and where he's come from. It's important because Matthew, by the Spirit, gives us these titles and these descriptors of Jesus: HaMashiach, the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. And with these titles come the description of what he brings to you and to me in the hope and life of salvation, that Jesus, who is God's promised Messiah, he is the Christ, the anointed one that the Father anointed to be the Savior, your, my Savior, ours, through faith in Jesus, who washes away our sins and in its place brings forth a new creation. Son of the kingdom, daughter of the kingdom, child of God, man, woman, who are after his own heart. This is the Messiah at work for us. Jesus, who is the son of David, that one whom God had promised through the lineage of David would build a house, a kingdom in which his throne would reign forever. This is Jesus, the son of David, the builder of a house in which his kingdom is established. And where is that house built? But within you and me, us who are believers in Jesus Christ and part of his kingdom. This house in which he's building his kingdom and reigning on the throne of our hearts. This house which proclaims the goodness of the Lord God's salvation. Jesus, who is the son of Abraham, the fulfiller of that promise that through Abraham all people would be blessed, would know the blessing of a father who loves them and cares for them and wants them to be with him in his eternity through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the God of the genealogy of Jesus Christ that we know, who knows us unto eternity. These are the titles that Matthew uses. And then he goes on to list all of those names. I won't read them again for you today. I was surprised that I got through them without making a mistake. Yeah. But those are the names that are part of the genealogy in the family of Jesus Christ to which we belong. When Jesus says in the new covenant, when he says to his disciples, and we hear it as the church, I am the vine and you are the branches. This is not only another name that Jesus has been given, the vine, but it's a descriptor of who he is and what this description means for us, that we're his branches. We're part of his family tree. Jesus, who is the root of righteousness, the root of the branch of righteousness, the root of our salvation, brings us, he adopts us, or what's the word I'm looking for when you work with plants? Herbicultural? Horticultural, that's it. A horticultural phrase is that we would be grafted in, right? And we are. We're grafted into the family tree of Jesus. So, when Jesus comes and he enters into our hearts and lives, he comes as the one who establishes his kingdom in our hearts, that we would be a son or a daughter of Abraham, of his ancestry, of his family tree. What this might look like for you and me, then, is this promise that we live under. We are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We have that blessing. We know that blessing. We live in that blessing. We possess it as our own because it's been given to us. And there are so many people who live and die who don't know this blessing. 400 million people in India haven't even heard the name of Jesus. How do they know the hope of this blessing unless it's taken to them? We who know that blessing have that privilege of conveying. You too can be a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, to know him as Lord and Savior, to be called among those Gentiles to belong to him, to be called a child of the kingdom of David and belong there means that Jesus is working in us to build his kingdom. As Paul would write to the Ephesians, and the Spirit speaks to them as to us, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the foundational truth that hasn't changed, that doesn't change, that we are built upon. With Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, that which we are built upon is that eternal truth. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. That's his work within us, raising us up to be these holy dwelling places where the Lord God makes his presence known, where his promises are lived out, where you and I have the privilege of proclaiming that truth of Jesus Christ. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which the Lord God lives by his Spirit. While that is spoken individually to us who are in Christ Jesus, it's also spoken corporately to his body, his bride, to each individual congregation built on that chief cornerstone like us, that we're being built together individually as one body. And that blessing that we know sustains us through the joyful times and the challenging times. It allows us to pray for one another and care for each other. It allows us to lift one another up and to walk beside each other when we need that for comfort and care. No other place in the world is that known except through the body of Christ Jesus in the way that it's intended by his Spirit. And we know that. We possess that. Church, bride of Christ, whether you're online with us or whether you're here in person, this is who we are. Let me give you a word of encouragement. Please, let's continue that together in the joy of walking together in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, what a joy and privilege it is to serve a congregation, a people, the bride of Christ in the way in which we're walking together. I rejoice for our partnership in Jesus Christ. And we are a servant, like Mary and Joseph. Holy. We're set apart. We use the word sanctification or sanctified to describe that we are set apart for God's holy purposes. Not being asked to necessarily do the same thing that Mary and Joseph were asked to do, but in other ways that convey the kingdom of the Lord God at work among us. As again, the Spirit would use Paul to write to the bride of Christ in Philippi, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is the Lord God who works in you, who will and to act, to will and to act to fulfill his good purpose. And that glorifies his name. And that allows his name to be lived out in you and in me and in his ways that he chooses. Servants of the Lord. So friends, we're part of this family tree of Christ Jesus. You have your own lineage, your own genealogies, but we share one in common. As our dear Christ has entered in and brought us together to be in him and under him, as he works in our hearts, as Jesus Christ enters into you and me by his grace and through faith. To which the people of God, we say, amen. Amen, right? Amen, indeed. Thanks be to God for his working in this way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your one and only Son who has entered into our family trees, into our genealogies, into our hearts, and allowed us then, made us, adopted us, grafted us into the family tree of his lineage, that we might be a part of that eternal lineage, to be with you, with all the saints gone on before us in your heavenly home. Father, help us as individuals to carry the hope and the life, the forgiveness, the peace, all that we possess in Jesus into our family trees, to be those messengers of the good news of Jesus in our relationships. Bless, we pray, that through us and your message in us, more and more people would be connected to you for their eternity, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And as you enjoy your place in the family tree of the Lord Jesus, may you know the blessing and share that blessing as one of his, a daughter, a son of his redeeming. In Jesus' name, amen.